Welcome to episode 136 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on January 5th, 2010. I'm your host, XpunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Manju Ryder.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners. That can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, which is 206-350-3GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Welcome back, guys. How have you guys been?
Oh, pretty good. Didn't do much here for New Year's. Usually not safe down around here. Came home from work New Year's Eve. Almost got run off the road a couple times, actually, by a couple of drivers who weren't paying attention. So I stayed home the whole day, New Year's Day, and went out Saturday, took a wife and my son. Daughter had other things she wanted to do. Went down to Ybor City, which is the famous cigar-making area in Tampa. Went and found us a virtual cache there, and then went over towards the Hillsborough River down into the business district and attempted to find an Air Force base cache, and found out after the fact it had been muggled by the people who had been celebrating New Year's Day. So, oh well, find some, you didn't have some.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Partiers going caching?
No, the particular cache was in a park downtown where they were holding some of the New Year's Day festivities. So evidently they must have either bumped into the cache, muggled it, whatever. It was, it sit 6 foot up in a tree, but it was definitely not there.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Well, we hit the big local New Year's Day event ourselves and had 112 new caches published. We only found 34 of those after the breakfast. Most of what I was actually looking for from the day, though, was practice with the iPhone video production. So I did a little bit of video of the event and the hunting afterward, you know, targeting release for Ice and Rise geocaching video zine. Didn't really get what I wanted, but it was really educational. And I still need to work with the iPhone and the Real Director app some more. But that video is going to be published on the next episode of Ice and Rise geocaching video zine. Saturday, we went out hunting for some photos, but it was really cold out. So I didn't end up with too much, but we'll post links to the photos anyway. Sunday was mostly time with the family and working on the Cachermaniacs podcast. We recorded another couple of interviews over Ustream, so those are up there if you want to check them out early. But had some excitement because during one of the recordings, we had the batteries explode in one of the lights. So.
Ooh. Yeah,
not too fun, but you know, you got to deal with it.
Yeah,
Andy, what were you up to?
Well, New Year's for me was really uneventful. I actually fell asleep 5 minutes before the ball dropped. So for me, it really wasn't. I mean, I was there. I was just so tired, and I fell asleep. But you know, with the snow we've gotten here, I haven't had a chance to do a lot of the fun snow activities. Or I have got a lot chance to do the fun snow activities with my kids. So that's been cool. We hooked a sled up behind the four wheeler and did a bunch of fun things like that. But no caching yet. Hopefully we get a little bit of warm up. I say warm up, but that's not really too much of a warm up here. So that's really what's been going on here. Now, as many of you have seen, hopefully with the post that we posted in the feed, we do have a new website, and that's geocachingpodcast.com. And you will need to resubscribe with the new feed at that site. You will no longer be getting episodes in this feed. If so, this will be the last episode that is posted in the old feed. So head over to geocachingpodcast.com and subscribe to the new links. Daryl?
Well, new to the iTunes store this morning was version 3.01 of the geocaching app. This version fixes the issue with listening to the iPod while running the app, improvements in the animation and zooming on the map, and improvements in the speed of the map interface. GroundSpeak recommends rebooting your iPhone or iPod Touch after installation, and it's a free update for existing users and still $9.99 US for new buyers. We'll have a link in the show notes to both my blog, which has the information about the update, and a link to the iTunes store in our show notes. Montu.
Yeah, GPS tracking log is reporting on the upcoming PN60W with Spot Satellite Communicator today. DeLorme and Spot jointly announced this new two-piece GPSR and satellite communication kit for release this spring. The PN60W, which looks like a black version of the PN40, will be used to key in messages to be sent by the Spot, allowing for custom messages which the standalone Spot messenger units couldn't do. These messages can be sent to individuals or services like spotadventures.com, geocaching.com, Twitter, and Facebook. The Spot unit by itself will still have the option to send an SOS message to the Emergency Response Center. According to Lorm, the PN60W will also receive a firmware upgrade in the fall, allowing PN60W to transfer information with other PN60Ws. We'll have the links to that in the show notes.
Also in the report by GPS Tracklog is news of a PN60 and Topo 09. Both should be released this spring. The PN60 carries some improved memory, 3.5 gig, and battery performance as the PN60W, but lacks the wireless communication with the Spot or other PN60s. We'll be talking to Chip Noble of DeLorme about the announcements for next week's show, but you can head over to GPS Tracklog now and read up on the basics. We'll have a link to that in our show notes.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Recently, I asked the question, is your favorite GPS for geocaching the one you're currently using? 80% of us answered yes to this question. We will have to wait and see if any new GPS models are revealed during this year's Consumer Electronics Show. I'm very happy with my little Oregon, but I'm always looking for something just a little bit better. Aren't you? In the meantime, I'm content with what I have. So tell me, is your favorite GPS for geocaching the one you're currently using? Want to find out more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance. Visit cache-advance.com for all of your caching needs. Tonight, we are doing our Cacher Coffee, which is kind of an open forum. We have a few topics to cover, but feel free to call in to 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Feel free to press the request to talk. Get in our show here. Star 8 if you're just on the phone. And you can suggest any topics tonight. First thing that I would like to kind of bring up here is if you guys have any questions about the PN60 or the PN60W that you'd like us to ask when we record our interview with Chip of DeLorme, go ahead and let us know now, and we'll go ahead and let him ask him when we record with him.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more details released tomorrow, Wednesday morning, about the 60 and 60W. They're actually doing a press conference then. So we really don't have a whole lot of information, just a little bit that's leaked out so far. But Jeremy Irish of Groundspeak actually did confirm via his Twitter feed that they will actually allow you to post logs through the Spot and the 60W. So there's one of the big questions answered right there.
Yeah, I did see the post today, and I thought it was a pretty cool GPSR. I know that a lot of people are saying, hey, do I really need Twitter and Facebook functionality in the woods? I don't know, but it is nice to have, and it is nice to do the live logs. But we'll find out more about that when we record.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the idea of the, even without the Spot, just the W feature, because they're saying that you can transfer waypoints and send messages between the 60Ws for, I believe it was half a mile.
That seems like a decent distance. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be more than half a mile away from the other people in my group, usually.
Right, right. And well, and the big thing that I liked about those rhinos, and Montu, you're a big fan of those as well, was the ability to send the information back and forth. You know, the radios on at least our rhinos really didn't work that well, but just even sending the waypoints back and forth really was cool and helped us a lot.
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed mine. With mine, we've definitely seen some better range, but then again, mine has got the improved chipset in it, and there's some other improvements. It's got a lot more wattage on it than the old 120s did. But yeah, I've had pretty good success with sending waypoints. I haven't really tried to see how far away I can get, but I do know I have done the half mile. But it's going to be interesting. I'm thinking I might go out and try and see how far away I can get with it.
Yeah, your rhinos are using the GMRS protocol. Now I can't remember.
GMRS and the FRS.
Right, and both of those, if you...
Frequency I'm on.
Correct. And if you go over, I believe it's half a watt, you actually do have to have an FCC license, which isn't a big deal. But yeah, if you go to 2 watts, I think is the max on those rhinos. I think we got roughly about a half mile.
Yeah, on the 530s, I don't have mine with me right now, obviously, but it actually has got 5 watt.
5 watt? I thought it was 2 watts. Wow. Yeah, that will drain your battery a little faster, too. Now, someone was mentioning, where was it? Let's see. Bad Cop was asking if the PN60 will transfer waypoints with other brands of GPS. You know, we don't know for certain, but, you know, my guess initially is going to be no, because they were talking about this being a new protocol that they developed for these units.
Yeah, not even the rhinos and the Oregons talk with each other, or the Dakotas.
Correct.
So, yeah, I highly doubt going cross-brand if they'll talk. But it'd definitely be interesting to find out. Anybody who wants to, bring one to my next year's event.
Now, the Colorados, the Oregons, and the Dakotas that have the wireless capability will actually transfer information back and forth as long as they have similar firmware.
Yeah, they just won't talk to the rhinos.
Correct.
They are unique.
Yeah, the rhinos use you know, the standard radio service, and the newer units, the Oregons, the Colorados, and the Dakotas, use something in the 2.4 gigahertz range that's similar to Bluetooth, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing too. But yeah, you definitely know when a waypoint's been transmitted on the rhinos. You transmit it from one to the other. I'm hearing a chirp on it, so I know when it's come through. Don't even need to look at the screen. But yeah, I agree with several of our listeners. It would be nice if all these GPS user manufacturers could just get along and we could transfer from one to another. It doesn't matter brand, model, or anything. I guess that's for our wish list next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, if anyone has anything to put into this show, 724-444-7444, and our ID is 7525, that'll get you into our show here. Press the *8 on your phone, or if you're in our chat room, press the request to talk if you have any topics that you want us to talk about tonight. Now, I thought it's been a little while since we've done the winter caching ideas, and it are, you know, things to do, keep, you know, healthy and dirt caching during winter. So I thought I'd bring up that a little bit, since it is winter, at least here in my area. It's been snowing the last 5 days, and I have to get up and shovel almost, you know, every morning. There's enough snow to shovel. So one of the things that I would say definitely is, as far as winter caching goes, is I know it's easy to forget, but you're going to need to bring as much, bring some water with you. You don't think about that in the winter because it's cold and you don't get as parched, but you do need to bring that water. Now, Daryl, Montu, anything else that you guys can think of that would be great for winter caches or caching ideas in the winter?
Well, one of the things that I actually wanted to talk about a little bit was the way that touch screens and gloves and stuff work in the cold. So we probably want to get into that a little bit later on. But Montu, do you have anything you want to add first?
Well, unfortunately, since I'm here in the warmer weather, Since we don't get the snow, yes, definitely layering up, bundling up is definitely a good thing. The water, also a good thing. Thankfully for us here in Florida, the colder weather does mean a couple of advantages. We don't have to worry about the snakes, unless it's a real sunny day. Cause sometimes they will come out of their holes to get in a sunny spot to warm up. But for the most part, they're not a big worry during the winter months down here. But still, you really need to, as always, be cautious, be prepared, and know the area that you're going into.
Well, one of the things I'll mention, too, about going caching in the winter is there's a hazard to too much hot, cold shifts. So, you know, kind of watch when you get back into the car that you're not overheating yourself or getting out too quickly. You know, don't keep the temperature in the car too high because you can actually get colds and whatnot that way, and just not a good idea in general.
Now,
definitely,
Head Hard Hat also says that, you know, let's talk a little bit about what happens to plastic in the winter and in the cold. That's good for a lot of different things because a lot of people use plastic for cache containers, also for your hiking sticks, things like that. Definitely, depending on how thick of a plastic it is, it's going to get brittle too, and it can crack. Especially be careful when you're opening cache containers in the winter. You definitely have the opportunity to break the cache container. So if you can, again, carry a cache container with you. Daryl, anything?
Well, I want to mention a couple of things from the chat room. Cache Advance had said, bring a handheld shovel, extra shoes, boots. If yours get wet, you'll want to change. And really, we like to take that to a full change of clothes because even your pants or whatever can get soaked and be a problem. And she also says, bring the Spot Messenger if you've got one. Paul wants to mention the dry socks again and waterproof insulated boots. Great advice. And he wants to remind everyone, do not fall through the ice or snow into the water. Yeah, that could be a very, very unpleasant day.
Yeah, and KJ Casher says also, don't stick your tongue to an ammo can when it's cold outside. You'll get your tongue stuck to the ammo can.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be licking ammo cans anyway.
No, not particularly.
Especially not that one that's been sitting out there for a long time. Although that would kind of look funny if you have to hike back to your car with that can in your face.
Now, Daryl, you did bring up a good point as far as the touch screens and the cold. Let's go ahead and talk about that right now.
Yeah, now there's a couple of different types of touch screens that are used. One is the resistive, which is what like the Oregons, the older Palms, most of the smartphones, or the Windows smartphones use, which is you touch it, it works with a pressure, and it's a single point only, but it, you know, they usually have like a stylus, and you can kind of feel that it gives a little bit under your fingers. And those generally aren't going to have a problem in the winter. The newer style screens that you're seeing more and more often and really look like they're going to take over on the phone side, at least, are the capacitive screens like the iPhone, the iPod Touch, the Palm Pre, the Motorola Droid. All of those require, you know, something touching the screen that has you know, some kind of electronic resistance, or actually I think it's radio resistance. But it doesn't work very well in the cold because you have to have like a bare finger, or they do make some stylus, and you know, which generally aren't very good because of the way that the interfaces work around those capacitive screens, because they do actually support multiple points, unlike the resistive. So really, the capacitive screens are much better generally. It's only when we get into the cold that we see this kind of problem. So you can use a stylus if it has one to work with, you know, with the gloves or mittens or whatever else. And there are some of those available for the capacitive screens, but you know, they don't tend to be as accurate as using your finger, and they're just kind of clumsy on the capacitive. It's not that nice hard point that we're used to with the stylus on the resistive. And Geek Boy actually had given me one last year when he was in town, and I tried it. It was kind of cool, but it's like a little rubber tip. And when you tried doing the slide, it kind of hung and, you know, didn't really work all that well. So what's starting to happen is we have some gloves with metallic thread or metallic points for activating those capacitive screens. And I actually just took delivery of a set not too long ago. It's not very cheap, but it was like $28, and they seem to work pretty well from Tavo. And I'll probably do a little post once I try it out. I did have last year the Dots gloves, which are really cheap. I want to say it was like $10-15, which has those little metal pads, and that was just a mess. I really hated them, and the gloves weren't all that good either, so I really don't recommend those Dots gloves. There are other gloves that don't have fingers, or, you know, like the fold-over mittens, so those kind of things work well, and a lot of that kind of stuff is available for shooters, and I'm talking about the guns, not the cameras, and also for the photographers. So you can check some of the like sporting goods stores if you want to try some of those out. Excuse me. And also some of the photography stores, but the photo gloves tend to be a little bit more expensive.
Now, Pagel Boy is from Australia. How cold are you talking here with things that have affecting in the cold?
Well, pretty much what we're talking about here is anything where your hands are cold enough that you don't want to leave them exposed.
So it's really not a matter of the
Yeah, we're not talking about the screens that aren't functioning in the cold weather. It's a matter of activation.
Gotcha.
Now, C. Mike is also saying that he's actually seen people use AAA batteries as essentially styluses. That's an interesting thought and probably would work. And unless there's some burrs or whatever, I think that would probably be a pretty good solution to use as a stylus.
Yeah, I would probably think so too. And I noticed that someone, I think it was C. Mike D, also said that someone used their nose to actually activate the phone.
Yeah, that's a common one. This is one of the big problems I have with the iPhone in general, is there's no buttons to answer the phone or anything, and even most of the Android phones don't have a physical button. So you really got to have something to activate it. So these gloves are being more and more important. And really, the reason that I bring this up is because when I was out on New Year's Day caching, it was cold up here. I want to say, I don't remember for certain, but I want to say it was like 8 degrees and windy enough that when we went out for one of the caches, I'm trying to use the iPhone to do the video. So I couldn't wear my gloves and my fingers were freezing. Even, you know, as much as I could, I threw them in my pockets to keep them warm, you know, blow on them, put them back in. And it was terrible. My fingers were just aching, not so bad that, you know, I was getting close to frostbite, fortunately, but I did make a beeline back to the car and warm them up as soon as I started having problems.
Now, Daryl, we mentioned about the announcement at CES with the DeLorme. Now, Garmin has also announced what they're calling Voice Studio, and we'll link to this release too. It's basically a software. It's Windows only. It'll allow you to create your own voices for the new Vs, except for the 300s and 600s. The Era and the Zumo 660 and the GPS Map 630 and 640. Looks like the voices must be recorded, though they can't be downloaded from audio files. You have to actually record them in the software. It does allow trimming of the recordings, though, through a waveform, so you'll be able to, if you accidentally say too many things, you can go ahead and cut that down, and it sends it directly to the device. So if you want to have yourself talk and say, turn here, bear left, you can do that. One of the downsides of this, though, is it does not allow you to do the text-to-speech, so it can't say, turn on Hiawatha Street, because it won't be able to know that. It'll just know the basic the direction type of things.
Right, and TomTom has been doing this stuff for quite a while now, and actually, as I recall, they have a marketplace, so it's not really a new concept, but you know, it's a very cool idea, a lot of fun, and this is something that you just download and do yourself, so we're going to probably start seeing a lot of cool voices posted all over the place to download and try on your Nuvi. You know, I'm thinking, Andy, maybe we should do some.
We should. That'd be fun. Have you played with the software yet at all?
I haven't even had a chance to download it.
All right, well, I'm looking for... You have a Nuvi that's we'll work on that, correct?
Correct. I have the 265WT.
Now, I know how much fun it was when we messed with the voices and had them in different languages when we were together. It should be a lot of fun to do it with other people's voices.
Yeah. Well, and the other fun thing that you can do, there's on the TomTom, a bunch of them where they're misleading voices. It will tell you to turn left instead of right, or, you know, okay, now go up, or now go down, or you know, whatever.
Well, that would be confusing to me. I think for me, I would have a problem remembering that, and I would get lost, and I that'd be so frustrating to me.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun, and you know, even just some of the recalculating messages would be fun to redo. You know, what did I just tell you? What are you doing? Okay, let me figure this out again.
Yeah. Now the bad cop says, "How about a bad cop giving you directions?" Now that'd be interesting.
Hey, sounds good to me. Go and create that, and I'll stick it on my Nuvi right away.
Yeah, I'll look forward to hearing people's experiences with that. If you've got experiences with any of these things and want to give us a call on our voicemail or live right now, our voicemail number is 206-350-3GPS. And if you're on live with us, give us a call, 724-444-7444. And our talkcast ID is 7525.
Now, Jeff Bolden's asking Bad Cop why his GPSR is always taking him to the donut shop. Now, unfortunately, you can't do that kind of stuff with the voices file, but, you know, that would be a lot of fun.
That would be.
I agree with Cash Advance, though. Keep the siren to a minimum. Every now and then, if I'm listening to the podcast in the car on the way to work, that siren comes on, and I'm looking, okay, where is he at? Oh, it's just the Bad Cop.
Yeah, now we should mention that this is a free download, and you know, play with it and enjoy it at your own risk.
Now, Daryl, anything that you've seen through CES this week, I know it's only starting, but that you'd like to mention as far as new things?
Well, there's a lot of cool, exciting stuff happening all over the place, but nothing really that I've seen pop up aside from DeLorme's announcement. And, you know, Garmin had some more cool announcements, including I think they call it the EcoRoute HD, which allows you to actually connect into the onboard computer to get the actual, mileage. And actually, I'm not sure it does mileage, come to think of it, but I know it does, like, RPM and get some of the
braking and
fuel information.
Like,
right. And the problem I have with the EcoRoute right now is it's telling me that I'm not driving eco-friendly. Well, I've got a manual trans, and I'm, you know, just hitting the clutch and gliding, and it's saying that that's not eco-friendly.
Yeah, that is, yeah, I could understand.
So, you know, you got to tie into the car for some of that kind of stuff to get the real data.
Definitely. Now, what we want to do, too, is I want to warn you, we are not going to have a live show next week. There will be a recording. You will get an episode next week on Tuesday, but it will not be live. So don't show up here at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We will not be doing doing a live show. We are going to be talking with Chip from DeLorme. We'll be talking offline on Thursday. So no live show, but we are going to be talking about the PN60W. So if you have any questions between now and then go ahead and give us a call at 206-350-3GPS, and we can go ahead and get that information out to Chip, and we can ask your questions. Daryl Montu, anything before we close the show here today that you guys would like to talk to?
Not that I can think of at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of topicked out right now. Can use some sleep soon.
One of the things quickly before we go here is the Australian cachers who listen to this. There is the Oz Mega Wagga Wagga event that's going to be happening April 2nd, 2010. So if you're in Australia and you want to go ahead and hit that, again, it's April 2nd, 2010. The GC number is GC1YJ5R. So with that, Thanks for listening to our podcast. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can also call our voicemail line at 206-3503-GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.